in his goodness. Our passage is from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. Luke chapter 2, 25 through 30. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And being inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We want to preach on a message, the gift worth waiting for. Amen. The gift worth waiting for. You may be seated. Father, we are thankful that you've blessed us to gather on this Christmas Eve. And Lord, while that first Christmas didn't have all of the lights and the glitter, didn't have the decorations or the flowers, it only had a simple message. God has sent his son into the world. Some didn't get the message because they were not paying attention. Some still today have not gotten the message because they're not taking heed. I pray that you would bless us to receive this truth and to know that only embracing this truth will it set us free. Bless us now in our time together to hear your word, that not only may we be inspired, but Lord, we can be moved by your Spirit, that you might do the things that you would want to do in our lives that would bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all the people of God said, amen. The gift worth waiting for. What I want you to do today is to imagine that you're an old person. Some of you, you don't have to imagine. But I want you to think about the fact that if you were born in Israel, born at a time of great struggle, in a time that you are waiting for what they called the consolation of Israel. Now, what that meant today is not the same as it meant back in that time. This man called Simeon, his name really means to listen, to listen. And that name first originated with the wife of Jacob, Leah. She had named her second child Simeon because she felt like God has listened, God has heard. And so this man, Simeon, was waiting in Jerusalem. He was a devout man. He was a religious man, waiting for this consolation of Israel. How many know that if you wait on the Lord, your waiting is not in vain? You don't know how long it will take God to come, but you know he will come and he'll show up on time. He was waiting. He wasn't waiting for necessarily a message because the message had already been given in the prophecy, but the prophecy had not been fulfilled. So Simeon was a man who was waiting for God to speak personally. As it said, when Christ came, he was more than just an answer to people's problems. He was Emmanuel, God with us. That was the truth that Simeon waited for. This man waited for the consoler in desperate times. And so he wasn't necessarily waiting on a movement. And there were many of the Zionists, as they were called, people who believed in the national state of Israel. But God was concerned about the spiritual state of Israel. He wanted them to be free from their sin. So he wasn't waiting on a movement, even though they needed a movement. They were occupied now by these Romans, these outsiders. Imagine that, living in the land of promise, but living in bondage because the Romans occupied the land. And more than just occupying the land, the Romans didn't want the Jews to think like Jews. At this time, there was what they called a Hellenistic movement. They wanted them to be like the Greeks and the Greek culture. And they wanted them to be, to buy into the world's ways, the Hellenistic culture. You've heard the saying, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. Now, that wasn't just a phrase. It was the pressure on the Jews because they were God's people. They were supposed to live by a different law. They were supposed to be shaped by God Almighty to proclaim His truth to the world. And yet these Romans, these outsiders, these folks that had conquered the world and now occupying Palestine, people were being forced to change. As a matter of fact, some of the Jewish people were changing, but not Simeon. You know how it is. Come on now. It's not that bad. You'll get used to it. Yes, different. It's not the law of Moses, but it's the law of the land. Just fit in. Just do what you're supposed to do. Not Simeon. The Bible says that he was a devout man and righteous before God. And we know that didn't mean sinless, but he was righteous. He lived in a right standing with God. He wanted to do things right. Are there any people in the house that want to do things right? You realize that the consequences of sin is that if you don't do it right, you get to do it over if God grants you mercy. How many of you learned that if you do wrong, you've got to pay for it? Yeah, it's usually free up front, but you pay on the back end. He was a devout man. He loved God. He loved God's people, but he waited. Now, he waited not only as these Romans had changed the culture, wanted to change the ways, but now Caesar Augustus had issued a decree that all the world should be taxed. Now, we share something in common with that. We know what it means to pay taxes. I know there's been tax reform, but take my word for it, you're going to pay. Yeah, you're going to pay. And don't worry about who doesn't get to pay. You're going to pay. But it wasn't a movement. God was getting ready to do something. He wouldn't just send consolation as a phrase, but God would send consolation as a person. The Holy Spirit had spoken to Simeon and had given him a word. You will not die until you've seen my Christ. You will not leave this world until your eyes have beheld the one that will save the world. So he was looking for a Messiah. Sadly today, people don't look for a Messiah. They just look for a solution. We just want what works. We want some magical thing that can come and leave gifts under the tree and everything will be all right. But God said, no, I'm going to send you Emmanuel. I'm going to send you a Savior because that's what you really need. I want you to pay particular attention today as we see this man, Simeon. He's not walking by himself. Someone is walking with him. Someone is talking him along as he takes this journey through life. And it's the same with us today. We're being talked along. How'd you like that phrase? Talked along as the Holy Spirit whispers to us. Don't do that. Stay over on this side, reminding us of our responsibility to stay true to this word. You cannot and you will not be a Christian without the Holy Spirit being with you. You cannot serve God. You cannot really live a life of purpose and of righteousness, as they say, without the Holy Spirit talking to you. And he talks with you all along the journey, all along this way that you're going through in life. And so it is that we must embrace that truth. Here we come to our first statement. I want us to issue a couple of statements as we go through this. And the first one, I want you to say that with me, keep on living. And the old folks had this phrase, they had this thing about keep on living. especially when a young person would brag about how, oh yeah, everything going fine. I'm doing, oh yeah, it's good, it's good. And they'd say, keep on living. But here was the Holy Spirit saying to Simeon, Simeon, keep on living. I want you to just to look at somebody and tell them, keep on looking. You may not have looked at him this morning. You just came in, plopped down. But I want you to say that, keep on living. What does that mean to us? Live in hope. Live knowing that you haven't seen the worst of things because you're going to see the best of things. Now, sometimes you got to go through the worst and get to the best, right? But keep on living. A lot of people are giving up. How are they giving up, preacher? Some are giving up by committing suicide, thinking that that's the answer. God didn't give you life for you to take it away. God gave you life for you to embrace it. Keep on living. A lot of people are not living because they're feeling like, well, I need some substance in my body. I need some chemicals to help me. You have more people addicted today because they can't take the pain. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you can keep on living. You can keep on living. The opioid addiction has become an epidemic because people feel like, well, let me go to the pill rather than to the promise. But let me tell you something. When you stand on the promise, amen, God will keep you. It will comfort your mind. It will let you know that you didn't come this far for God to leave you now. He walks with you. As you journey through life, he talks with you. He whispers to you. Some of you late in the midnight hour, you've cried and you had to turn your pillow over because it was drained and drenched with tears. But God whispered to you, it's going to be all right. Yes, that saying that the psalmist, weeping endureth for a night, but joy, joy. Simeon woke up that morning and the Holy Spirit spoke to him again. Today's the day. Go to the temple and you wait for them because they're coming. Can you imagine that? Like the eyes of a child when they know that it's Christmas morning and they've waited all year for that special gift. Simeon, an old man, coming to the temple, eyes bright, even though he had cataracts. He said, he's coming, and I'm going to see him with my own eyes. Keep on living. Second statement I want you to look at today is look at the crisis. Look at Christ rather than, and not the crisis. Every time you turn around, there's a crisis, right? Amen. Something else has gone wrong. But this is the day that we can proclaim that something is going right. God in heaven looked down at the earth and God in heaven saying, you know what? I got the answer. It's not more money. It's not a balanced budget. It's not for the Senate and to agree. It's not for this side or that side. I am God Almighty. I rule the earth. He rules the world with truth and grace. Let men their songs employ. Look to Christ and not the crisis. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Look at Christ. I dare you this Christmas season to look to Christ. As a matter of fact, when you look to Christ, you will find the hope. Now get this. He was still a baby, but he was here. He hadn't grown up, hadn't fulfilled his mission, but he had arrived. Amen. Isn't that good news? Amen. When God gives you a promise, it's as good as done. Amen? Amen? Our third statement today, listen to the Lord and not the loud noise. You hear a lot of boom, 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 right? Life is constant with these things that's always trying to grab your attention. Listen to this. Come over here. Do this. Run here. Just like people shopping today. They're mad dash and they want to get here. They want to get this and get that. And so they're busy. Is that the answer to life? One thing I've learned by getting old, don't rush it. Don't rush it, because when you get on the other side of this proverbial hill, there are no brakes. Don't rush it. Young people, please take this message to heart. Don't just rush and say, I'll be glad when. No. I'll be glad to stay, you know, where I am for a little bit. There's no pause to it. Simeon, I don't know whether he was walking with the assistance of a cane, but I can imagine that morning that he woke up, a lot of noise going on in the temple. He was getting ready to offer sacrifices. He wasn't listening to the noise. He said, I need to see that one. And the Bible says that Jesus was brought by Mary and Joseph to the temple to do for him according to the custom. Now, the custom was that on the eighth day, that child had to be circumcised. So they brought him to the temple. Let me just put in a shameless plug about going to church. A lot of people want to solve their problems without attending worship. Now, I would tell you what Rocky said to Bullwinkle. That trick doesn't work. You've got to have some effort on your part. Now, Simeon had every reason to not go to the temple. It was corrupt. We talk about the Romans being corrupt. Here were the people in Jerusalem, the high priest and the Levites and the other officials, and what they had done with the house of prayer, they had turned it into a den of thieves. Get this. When you came to the temple and you wanted to give your gift, you couldn't bring your animal. You had to buy one of theirs. And their price was jacked up. How do you like that? So when you came to the temple to offer something to God, you had to buy and you had to go to the exchange in order to get it converted to their, and you couldn't even use your money. You had to use the temple currency. And guess what the trading value for the temple currency was? Through the roof. And yet Simeon came. Well, I don't go to church because they got a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Well, you might as well come on. One more ain't gonna hurt us. You got to make sure that you're listening to God and not the noise of the stuff that's rattling around you. As they would say in the classroom, pay attention. You might learn something. And so as they came, he came to the temple looking, and when he see one couple walk in, the Holy Spirit, no, that's not them. He see another, the Lord said, no, that's not them. Wait. That's our great problem today. We can't wait. We get antsy. We want to pace the floor. You're walking, you know, you ever got up at night and you're going to solve a problem, so you're going to walk the floor. Only thing you do is create another problem that's wearing out your carpet. When you depend on God, God will come through. How many of you know that? So the third or the lessons that we learn is that, first of all, we have to have patience. Look at the patience of this man, Simeon. He's not rushing through life. He's taking it in because he's paying attention to God. He was patient. The serenity prayer goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the patience or the strength to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I need to know when it's time to move. Being patient doesn't mean you got to be moving all the time. People say, well, we got children that are ADD, they are attention deficit. We got adults who are ADD. They can't pay attention even if you gave it to them. Patience. The Bible makes this declaration: in your patience, you possess your soul. Wrong move can not only put you out of God's will, it can put you out of this world. Patience. Second thing about him, he was prepared. Prepared. Being prepared. The Bible talks about when Christ came and John the Baptist would be his forerunner. His job was to prepare people for the coming of the Lord, saying, make straight his way. You know, when I was a sinner, I still am. I'm just forgiven and I'm being instructed as I go through life. Amen. But when I lived in sin, I knew where I was, right? You know, when you see a holy person walk around, you'd automatically, oh man, I got to clean myself up. I got to get straight. Especially, you've heard me talk about Deacon John Toran. You wouldn't do things. You wouldn't drink around him. We've thrown away many of six packs with Deacon Toran. He'd show up at times that you didn't want him to show up. But we felt like we needed to straighten up. Nowadays, people don't, they don't even think about straightening up. It's my sin. You either like it or lump it. I'll do what I want. Mind you, take heed. Be sure and know that your sin will find you out. You can choose to sin. That's your choice. But you cannot choose the consequences. It's coming back on you. Anytime you break a law of God, sooner or later, the law will break you. You cannot do things without being prepared. And Simeon had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Why do we come to church? We don't come to church because we got it all together. We come to church because we are preparing. We're getting fixed up and we're getting, I don't go to the doctor when everything is well. You know, I go to the doctor because something's wrong. And then I get mad if he can't fix it. And then I got to pay the bill. You come to church because you're preparing for your meeting one day with God Almighty. Now, I would tell you that you've already met him in the spirit because that's the one that's preparing you, getting you ready. Let me move on. The next thing that we have is his peace. So I had to give, you know, the three trilogies here. I had, you know, three peas in a pod. Yeah, I had to give that. As preachers do that stuff, you know. But not only did he have the patience and the preparation, but look at the peace of God. A couple of things I want you to understand about this peace. First of all, you have to have peace with God. Quit fighting him. He's not your enemy. I know his ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. But quit fighting him. He only wants to help you. When he comes and he brings you under conviction, quit trying to shrug him off as he's not talking to you. He wants to talk to you. And he wants to give you the good news. Stop fighting him. Have peace with God. But then not only have peace with God, but have the peace of God. Oh, it's something when you internalize it, when you bring it in and you say, it's my peace. That peace will keep you from crying sometime. And the world will look at you and say, why are you smiling? Because you've got the peace of God. Am I talking to anybody? And when you got the peace of God, you know that you can go anywhere and know that you're not alone. Yeah, clap your hands at that. We're kind of quiet this morning. Y'all are listening. So we come to the fourth statement. When you leave a message with God, the Holy Spirit returns the call. Amen. I like that. Amen. Have you ever left a message with God and he didn't answer right away, but the Holy Spirit will answer the call. Will tell you, you've been praying about this and here's your answer. Watch this. That day came for Simeon and his answer was right there. Now notice this, the child couldn't even walk, but he was still God. Sometimes we'll look at God moving in small ways and we say, well, no. I'm waiting for something bigger. Don't miss your opportunity. Because we know that God often moves in ways. First of all, it starts off small, but you just keep on working with it. I touch somebody, keep on working with it. Amen. And as you do, God will begin to work in your life and bring about some changes that you never thought possible. Our fifth statement, your worship must be real. Don't play. You ever seen people say, quit playing? Mm-hmm. One thing you don't want to do is play in church. Amen. Amen? Amen? Your worship must be real. And when your worship is real, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit leading you through some experience. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit teaching you what's right, directing you in a path that you need to go and showing you this is what you need for your life. Is your worship real? If you to recognize, I can't imagine all that was going on in Simeon's mind, but here's what he did. When he saw the child, now you don't just go grab folks' babies, right? When he saw the child, the Bible said he took him up in his arms. I can just imagine that old man just Oh, just love it all over that baby. Why? Because this child will change the world. How many times have you come to church and you've embraced God's word? How many times have you said, His word is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light to my pathway? God's word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. One of the most dangerous things to do in church is to fall asleep. Not that you're going to fall out your pew. But when you fall asleep in church, now, granted, you got a good place to sleep. I'm telling you, we prayed all the demons out and, you know, and prayed that the Lord forgive you for your sins. But you don't want to go to sleep because that's the exchange. That's when God gets close to you. What Simeon probably was realizing in his heart, I'm holding God Almighty in my life. How is it possible? How is it possible for you or me to have God in our lives? It's one thing to say we're part of His creation, but another thing to say I've got Him on the inside. As the old folks would say, something on the inside is working on the outside, moving all over me. Are you a witness? So you know you've got Him, you know you have Him, and that's because God gives you what you need. Your worship must be real. Sixth statement, then I'm going to get ready to close. Let the Holy Spirit speak. Don't allow yourself to do what we call self-interpretation. One of the most dangerous things that we can do as preachers is what we call eisegete. When you eisegete, you read into it something that isn't there. When you exegete, you read out of it what is there. And maybe I'm not the best at it, but I try to bring you into the scripture so that you are able to see what's there. And for the scripture to reach out and touch you. And guess what that is? That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you begin to share this word in such a way, and then you're sitting there in your pew, how'd that preacher know about that? He's been reading my mail. No, I haven't been reading your mail. I got enough mail in my own house. Amen. What I have been doing is finding out what's in here. I want you this year, I want to challenge you, read through your Bible. Just go chapter after chapter until you get to Revelation. Start in Genesis and read it. They got in the daily bread. They got a reading plan. But as you read, allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you, and He'll grow you. And watch how much you grow in just 1 year from taking in God's word. Y'all ready to close, aren't you? I see your eyes getting glazed over. Can't tell you too much. Have you ever brought some gifts or something and you paid a bunch for it? I used to buy these toys for my kids and then they tell you batteries not included. So one of the things you want to do today, one of your last minute shopping assignments, go out and get some batteries. All right, so that the toys that make noise will whirr, and dolls that cry can go, go out and get some batteries. But when you get the power of God's Spirit, it's included. There's no way on this earth that you can start worshiping God and the power it's not included. How do you know that? First of all, get acquainted. Get acquainted with it. Often when you hear people talk about the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, this is not Casper, okay? This is God's Spirit speaking to you. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the only way He could get down on the inside of you is that He is a spirit. Not spooky. But the Spirit that is real, Spirit that made everything, and you would have nothing without Him today. So get acquainted with Him. Be like Simeon. I want to know God. I don't want to know everything in this world because if I know it, it's not going to bring me joy. I want to know about God. Secondly, acknowledge the gift. Acknowledge the gift. Notice he had never held this consolation of Israel. But he came to the temple because he acknowledged it's going to be here. So he acknowledged it. And then lastly, appreciated. Appreciated. My dear Grandma Amanda, every Christmas I knew what she was going to give me. Regardless of how she wrapped it up, I knew what she was going to give me. A pair of socks that she had knitted by hand. Didn't matter that my feet had grown. What matters is that she had knitted these pair of socks. And she wasn't satisfied with just you getting the gift. Put them on. So there I was, trying to squeeze a size 10 foot into a size 5 sock. Some gifts you can't appreciate, but this one you can, because it's your life. It's your life. I can only imagine when God prepared to send his best gift to the world. This thing was planned before creation. Put some joy in Christ. Put some encouragement in Christ. Some in strength. Bundle him up. Send him down to Mary's womb so that on the delivery day, she'll bring forth a son. And his name will be called, not just answer to my problem, but Emmanuel, God with us. And on that day that Simeon came to the temple, he saw everything that life could hold. He saw the life giver himself, and he took him up in his arms. Last item, it's worship time when that gift has arrived. Amen. You and I are looking back at that event. But as I've been able to take you through this passage today, you see now it's real. It's real. But you've got to know that it's arrived. Don't leave your gift under the tree. What do I mean by that? Don't let Christ hang on the cross. Take him down. Put him on the inside. And watch him bring life into you, because he's the Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this very sobering message that's helped us to embrace the truth, and the truth is the only thing that can set us free. You loved us enough to bring us heaven's best. I pray that we can love you enough to receive it and, Lord, to be moved by it. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for being with us this year. And even though we didn't acknowledge you, you kept moving in our lives anyway. So, Father, we're grateful. Bless now. Help us that we would always embrace the truth, and that the truth would set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to extend the invitation if there be one today. Perhaps you're without Christ or without hope. Maybe you'd like to be a part of our church fellowship. We'd love to have you. The doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. May we all stand.